Let's turn in our Old Testament to Isaiah chapter 53 this morning as we continue our sermon journey toward our Easter celebration together and continue looking at our Savior, our Lord, and who He is, so that we might prepare ourselves for a proper celebration of Easter along the way. Today, I feel like I'm going to tell y'all something that you already know, or should already know, or if you haven't already heard, this will be the first time you hear it, then that's great because you need to hear it. But even if you already know it, it's a good refresher, it's a good reminder, it's always good to keep things of the Lord, the things about our Savior on the forefronts of our hearts and our minds, so that He is actually the Lord of our life, the King of our life, and not something we stuff in our wallets or purses and keep handy for when we need Him, right? Because we certainly don't want to end up finding ourselves there. So Jesus, in case you didn't know, that's who I'm talking about. Jesus is the Christ. He is the promised King. And He saved humanity not through any earthly plan or any earthly power, but He willingly went to the cross to bear our sins and our sufferings in our place. And he made His own self an offering as a ransom to redeem us from the bondage of sin and death. Redeem us to our Father. Isn't that great? I mean, we could say amen and go to the house. You know, this is all common knowledge to most believers. Most people in the world have heard about Jesus. They know what the Christians say about Jesus. Hopefully, most Christians are saying the same thing about Jesus as the other Christians, but sometimes that's not the case. But you know, it's not a fairy tale, this whole thing. The gospel truth about who Jesus is and what He did and how He did it. It's a story of our King. It's a story of Jesus. The account of our Savior, how He came into the world with all the authority from the kingdom of heaven to claim, to reclaim that which He loves. That's you and me. He came into a world that was desperate for salvation, desperate for relief from their sickness and their pain and their sufferings and their brokenness. And here in chapter 53 of Isaiah, among many other places, but this particular chapter is really powerful in that it was thousands of years before Jesus came into the world to go to the cross is when Isaiah's prophecy was spoken, what we're about to read this morning. And in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, you can write that note down. Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." The one who had all the authority over all of creation decided, "I'm not going to stand here and dwell in that for the moment. I'm going to become a servant," because that's what we needed. That's what man needed in our time of need. And because He loves us so much, He would leave His authority and leave His lordship, His holiness, to come into the flesh for this purpose. So today, we're going to explore how the King saved all of us, provided a way for all of mankind to be saved, should they so desire to do so. Not with any sword or battle weapons against the wickedness of Satan and his lies in our decision to enter into his sinful ways, but with sacrificial love is how our King conquered our enemies. Isn't that great? Because anytime we think about fighting for that which we love, we think about a physical fight or a battle exchange or some kind of a skirmish of some sort. And I think that just realizing that the love of God is all that was required to conquer the power of sin and death speaks a lot about our King and who he is. Wouldn't y'all think? Wouldn't y'all agree with that? So let's look at chapter 53. Let's just take a snapshot out of that entire. I would encourage you to go home this afternoon and read the entirety of chapter 53 and pray about what the Lord is showing us here. But let's just look through verses 4 to 6 just to bring some truth to the surface to help us realize that we have a King who saves. Not only do we have a King who draws near, not only do we have a King who has all authority over creation and the universe and existence, but we have a King who saves. Verse 4, surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. That's some deep words right there. Some deep thoughts. And it's hard to hear. It's hard to swallow if we're paying attention and understanding or trying to understand exactly what's being said in all of these verses. The first thing we need to notice is that this King, Jesus, our Savior, the one who saves, he bears our burdens, right? To bear something means to take on the weight of, to carry the weight of something, in this case, our burdens, right? It's not a passive thing that happened. It wasn't something that he just did and didn't know he was doing. This was a willing choice, a deliberate decision, a deliberate action on our Savior, on Jesus. He said, I will take the weight of these burdens. The original writing insinuates that it would be a taking up of. When he says our sorrows he carried away, he took them upon himself and carried them and took them away. Okay, so Jesus, our King, willingly shoulders the weight of our deepest pains and sufferings, freeing us from carrying them alone. Isn't that something special to know? Even on your best day, when life is great and everything seems like a mountaintop, and you got that life is good bumper sticker on your car because life is going great, this is still true. And it needs to be true. He needs to be our King in this way because life ain't always great. We live in a world where bad things happen. We live in a world where sad things happen. We live in a world where sinful things occur. And we like to look around the room and say, yeah, that guy over there, this lady over here. No, it's self. Sinful things occur in my own heart, in my own mind, in your heart and mind. We're sinful things occur because of we. Right? So I don't know about you, but I need a King who is willing to bear the load of all of that, because I ain't gonna make it outside of that. And I know I'm not going to make it outside of that because I've already tried. I lived a lot of years not knowing that Jesus wanted to help me with my burdens. He wanted to help me bear the load in this world. Psalm 55, verse 22 talks about cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. Right? That's a promise. It's not a maybe he'll think about it. It's not a, well, let's see if he does. No, he will sustain you. If you genuinely cast your cares upon the Lord. And that's challenging because sometimes we think we're giving things to him and we're really not. Right? You ever try to carry a piece of furniture or an appliance with somebody else who don't know how to do it? And you got all the load? Right? And they're like, I'm trying to help. And they think they're helping, but you got the whole thing. And you're just like, well, maybe I'll just get out of the way. Sometimes we're trying to carry our part of the load. And Jesus is just saying, look, I got this. You just walk near me and I'll handle this. Right? Don't you think that'd be a lot better for us? A lot less stressful? I think we would have a lot more peace in our heart and our mind in those heavy loads, knowing that Jesus is carrying the load with us. We're not alone. So if anybody's carrying any anxieties or heartaches or illnesses, things we're concerned about, things that are bigger than us, things that we know we can't do anything to make it different, those are the things that Jesus is waiting for us to hand to him every day. Every day. Imagine a box that says Jesus on it. Got a little hole in the slot in it. And you just write, if you have to physically do this, I would do it. You write down your cares. You write down your heartaches. You write down your illness. You write down your burdens of your life. And you just throw them in the box. And don't ever get them back out. Trust the Lord. Trust in the power of our Savior. Our King who has come to save us. Not just from hell, from the consequences of sin, which we'll talk about, but also from our sickness and our burdens, so that we don't get overcome by the things that are bigger than us. We have a Savior, we have a Lord, we have a King who is here with us. So let's look at verse 5 then, as we're talking about sinful ways. It says, but he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. So there's a lot of big words that mean bad things in just that one verse. Don't y'all agree with that? And here's the hard part, y'all. All of those big bad words, which really mean sin and rebelliousness, offense to God, they all apply to me and you. You can't get away from that. You can't get away from it. And it says all of the hard words that are hard to swallow, that are consequential words of consequence, right? The result of our bad behavior, the result of our wicked decisions. I know nobody likes to apply that word to themselves, but that's what sin is. The wickedness that's in our hearts. Pleasing self over pleasing God, right? It says he was pierced through. Y'all know the story about how Jesus died on the cross. Y'all know that he was pierced in the side to be certain that he would die. Not realizing that he don't die until he says, I'll die. No one takes his life. He gives it because he's God. So he says he's pierced through for our transgressions, right? For our rebellious behavior. Talks about being crushed for our iniquities. As we think about the abuse that our Savior, our King, went through in the flesh, the ordeal that we know as his crucifixion. And prior to is because of our iniquities. Right? And every time we're reminded of this truth in our life, regardless of how long we've been saved, it should break our hearts. It should get our attention so much that it makes us pause our lives in that moment. Because we're talking about Jesus, our King, who would allow himself willingly to go through such things because he loves us. This is how his love defeats death in our life. That's our King, y'all. That's our Lord. Notice it says in the rest of verse 5, it says the chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. That's the praise the Lord part, right? It's hard there, because this is the Bible saying that what Jesus endured, the punishment and the suffering that Jesus allowed himself willingly to bear, was for our well-being. Can you imagine? Can you think about it? It's easy for us to get so comfortable in our salvation that we just say, well, Jesus is Lord and he's resurrected from the dead. It's not so hard to say that he died. Sometimes it's hard to think about or even talk about how he died and the details of that. And then associate it, because it's what we needed, y'all. It's we had to have this for our well-being. Without this, we're doomed for eternal death. Without verse 5 and the truth that's in it, we're all doomed. We have no hope. There's no way away from it. And here's our King stepped in and said, I'll take that for you, because it's what's good for you. It said it fell upon him. That means God put it on him. The Father put that on him. He said, I'll take the burden. I'll bear the weight. I'll carry the cross. And it says, by his scourging we're healed. Isn't that great? And I'm like you. I'm like you. I've had plenty of illnesses in my life, plenty of sicknesses. And y'all have had too, and I've had family members that I've prayed for, earnestly praying that they would get better or be healed, because I believe that's what God does at times, according to his will, for his purposes. And sometimes the healing came, and sometimes it didn't appear to come, right? But ain't no point in being physically healed of physical sickness in this world if you're not healed from your sins. If you're not healed from the iniquities that cause us to be enemies of God. Healing from sin is really resurrection from death, is it not? Because if you're not saved, if you haven't repented, if you're still in your sin and haven't accepted this gift that our King gave us, then you're a dead man walking or a dead woman walking. You're already dead. And you'll stay dead until you step into this life, except this verse 5 as truth, right? Don't get so gloomy and discouraged. This is great news, y'all. It's hard to think about, but it's great news, isn't it? That's why people think the Christians are insane, because we're celebrating and woo-hooing about this terrible event that happened. It's because we know if it didn't happen, we'd all be doomed for eternity of suffering, separated from our holy God forever. So through his voluntary suffering and wounds, Jesus absorbs the punishment for our sin. He just took upon himself. You know, somebody asked me not too long ago, why would Jesus say on the cross, why have you forsaken me? It's because in that moment, In that moment, he had absorbed the sins of man, all of the sins of man, on himself. And because God is holy, he could not look upon Jesus in that condition. Holiness and wickedness cannot exist in the same place. And that's when Jesus gave up his life. No place on the planet, no people, no person, no group of people, no plan of man. Nobody can do anything. Nobody can do anything to offer this kind of spiritual healing. Only Jesus. Only Jesus on the cross. No human remedy can provide this kind of gift, this kind of healing. Only Jesus, y'all. Only our King. So examine your life every day. As believers, we're going to examine our life and we're going to say to ourselves, Lord, if there's anything unclean in my heart or in my mind, help me to repent. Because I realize what it took for me to be healed from that. Because I realize the value that you put in on me as a sinner, that you would let my King go through what he went through so that I could receive healing. So that he could carry my burdens in this world. You know, if we could just live in that truth every day, all day, let that be the most important thing as believers. We would have a lot better time. We would have a more victory over the temptations of life. That's just what I believe. Temptations wouldn't be as great as they already are. Because we would be able to compare what's being offered in the temptation to what was offered on the cross. And then we would be able to have this awareness in our mind and say, okay, well, if Jesus went to the cross and carried this burden in this great way, horrific way, in my place, because of things like this, temptation, maybe I probably don't want that. Maybe I probably shouldn't partake in that. Maybe I should flee from that. You see. If that's what it causes. Let's read verse 6 together. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Circle the word all. Each of us has turned to his own way. Circle the word each. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all, circle the word all, to fall on him. Now you can write Romans chapter 3 off to the side because we've all fallen short. Nobody's innocent of this. This applies to all of us. And we need Jesus. And God put it on him, this burden of sin. That goes back to Genesis chapter 3. He said to Adam and Eve, you have to leave. You can't be here in your sin, your wickedness. You're unclean now. You have to leave. But I'm going to fix this because I know you can't fix it. Even if you knew how to fix it, you wouldn't be able to do it. So I'm going to fix it because I'm the only one that can. You think about, this is how you tell your neighbors and your friends about Jesus and the gospel message and salvation. You think about, you're in the courtroom, you're guilty. You're guilty of sin, literally. You can't get away from the truth because it's going to be laid out there in the courtroom. The judge is there. Our God. All the truth is out there. Now it's time for sentencing. You already know you're guilty. The judge knows you're guilty. All of heaven knows you're guilty. And you're expecting the judge, you're expecting God, the judge, to slam the holy gavel down and say guilty. And here's your sentence. According to Romans chapter 6, the consequences of sin is death. So everybody gets the death penalty. Now just imagine that same judge, because he loves you, the guilty defendant, steps down off of his bench or his throne, and says, I know this defendant is guilty, but because I love him, I'm going to take the penalty for him. The judge did that. I'm going to take his place. I can't say that he's innocent because he's not. I can't say that she don't deserve death because She does. The only thing I have the authority to do is take his place or take her place. So I will. That's how our God is just. You see. Can you imagine that? Who ever heard of such a thing? He paid the ultimate price. He gave his life. It's a ransom. He's paying the price. He's debt paid by the judge, y'all. If that don't change your life, you're not paying attention, y'all. If that don't change your way of thinking and your commitment to our God, then you're not hearing it. He's given us a new way to live because we have hope. So if you or your friends or your neighbors are not living as with Jesus as Lord and Savior, as King of their life, if they're not living in a way that means that they understand all of this, then they don't know Jesus and they're not saved. And it's a dire situation, right? What we're doing here. It's why we worship every Sunday. It's why we live our lives for Jesus every day of the week, every moment we have. We're all guilty of losing sight because life happens and we get busy just living life as if we're just here to live in this world for however many days the Lord gives us, knowing we're going to be saved because we believe in Jesus and we've confessed him as Christ, right? But it's more to it than that, isn't it? Too many times we get defeated when we shouldn't be defeated. Too many times we're living in ways that say we're defeated and we shouldn't be defeated. Too many times we're acting as if we don't have a king who saves. Or we're acting as if we don't have a king who has the authority that our king has. Right? Or we're acting as if we don't have a king who draws near to us and is with us and we're with him. Does that make sense? How can we lose, y'all? No matter, it doesn't make a difference what happens. And I know it, it's real. I'm not saying it's not real what happens in life. The hard times, the stressful times, the anxiety-filled times, the disappointing times, the hurt times, the mourning times. All of that stuff is real. But it doesn't change who our King is. It doesn't change Jesus. And once again, I think I say it every year. We're supposed to be celebrating Easter every day of our life. Easter Sunday. We just acknowledge Easter Sunday once a year. Right? But every day, every single day, we get up and we're like, what are we going to do today, Lord? What are we going to do for your kingdom today? How am I going to be victorious today? I'm an ambassador. You guys are all ambassadors to this king if you're saved. Why do we need ambassadors in the world? Because some people don't know him. Some people don't know they can be saved. Some people don't know they need to be saved. Some people don't care. Others do care, and they just like, whatever. I got my own kingdom going on, and I ain't surrendering that. Right? So what cross are we willing to carry for somebody else? What burdens are we willing to share with somebody else so that they might know our king? So that they might see our king? So that they might be saved by our King. Right? That's how we should be doing things. That's how we should be living. And I think it's easy for us to fall into a trap to thinking that our salvation and the kingdom of God and our Savior Jesus is all for me. Right? And I don't mean that ugly, and I don't mean to knock you down with that. I'm just saying all we know is our own lives and what goes on in our own lives. We know it intimately. So we dwell in what's going on in our lives and what's happening to us and against us and for us and around us. And the people that we know are part of that, but they're not, their lives are important, but they're not as important as my life because that's all I know. And God is saying, your king made your life more important than his life. And if we're going to be like Jesus, maybe we ought to think about how do we do that? How do we make everybody else's life more important than our own life? Right? And I know every time I say things like that, people sit back and go, well, I'm not Jesus. I can't do what Jesus did. We can do whatever Jesus tells us to do. And with Christ in us, we can do all things, especially if it's to the glory of God. Am I right? All right, I love y'all, and the Lord loves you. The question for today, if you haven't already received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as your King, I don't know what you're waiting on. If you know people that haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then maybe I don't know what you're waiting on trying to help them. Maybe you are. It's the most important thing we're to do. Find people, tell them about Jesus. Find people, introduce them to your Savior. Find people and tell them what Jesus has done in your life. Let's stand together and we'll sing. If you have a decision to make, let's do that today.